All right. This morning, I love that I have decided to follow Jesus song. That reminds me so much of church camp years ago, and it's such a great song that when we decide to follow Jesus, there should be no turning back. And I know there's a lot of times in my life, maybe I didn't turn back, but I sure slowed down a lot. And so it goes along really well with today's sermon. So we're going to look at that. We'll be in Numbers chapter 21, if you would turn there. And I know the bulletin, I think, said verse 4, but I was studying and God kind of laid something else on my heart after I had turned it into Melissa. And so we are going to start actually in verse 1 instead of verse 4. But as we do this, just kind of a little bit that took place right before this is the children of Israel are traveling through the wilderness, and they had come across the land of Edom, which was, if you remember, just kind of remember, Esau, Jacob's brother. Jacob is the tribe of Israel. Esau is the Edomites, and they did not get along because of the stealing of the birthrights and other things. And so what happened is they wanted to go through the land of Edom, and they were refused. He said, no, you're not coming through. And they brought the army out, and they stopped them from coming through. And that's taking place in the previous chapter. And then at the beginning of chapter 21, verse 1, this is where we take up, is just after they have been not allowed to go through Edom. So let's look at this. It says, when the Canaanite, the king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, heard that Israel was coming by the way of Ethraim, he fought against Israel, and he took some of them captive. And Israel vowed a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed give this people into my hand, then I will devote their cities to destruction. And the Lord heeded the voice of Israel and gave over the Canaanites. And they devoted them and their cities to destruction. So the name of the place was called Hormah. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and some of them, the people of Israel, died. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent had bit anyone, he would look at the serpent and live. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before you right now. We thank you and praise you for the opportunity to open your word. Lord, as we sing praises to you, Lord, I pray that they were received the way our hearts want to send them, Lord, the way you deserve. Lord, now as we take your word and we open it up, Lord, I pray that you would change our hearts. Lord, if there be any in this place that don't know you as their Savior, I pray that today would be that day. But Lord, those that do know you, Lord, I pray for myself that I would be more of what you want me to be, that I would hear what you have me to hear in this passage and change what I need to change. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would move in such a mighty way. I thank you and I praise you for your love. In your name we pray. Amen. So as we look at this, they had just won this victory over the Canaanites, and you would think that would be a pretty powerful time. That would be a good time that they, you know, God had just, you know, they were getting beat and people were being taken captive. And so they pray to God and they vow to make this happen for God, that they would destroy these cities. And God follows through and he grants them that blessing. And so they are on or what you would think as kind of a spiritual or emotional high. But what happens is the same thing that happens to you and me every time. They had this victory in their life, And then all of a sudden, something didn't work out exactly the way they wanted it to. They weren't able to go through Edom right before that, and so they couldn't just go through Edom. They were having to go around by the route of the Red Sea, which was a lot harder. It was a lot longer. It wasn't the way they thought things should go. We're victors. We just walked through, and we just beat these Canaanites, and we just destroyed these cities, and now we're having to walk around people. Man, we're victors in God. We have the power of God on our side. Why are we not getting what we deserve, what we want more so? And so that's where they're at. And as they get to that point, as they're walking around by the Red Sea, it says they became impatient. They became impatient and began to complain against God and against Moses. And I thought about that this week as I began to pray over this and study it, because this is where you and I get to, probably if not on a daily basis, for sure on a weekly basis. We get to that point when it says they became impatient. Man, do you ever get when you just want God to do something and it just seems like it's not happening? And people have always told you, don't pray for patience because He's going to make you wait. But you become impatient and you do, or I do, the same things that the children of Israel did here. And so that today, that's what I want to be our focus. They had had a victory. Things didn't go their way. They weren't satisfied with where they're at and they weren't trusting God. And as I think about that, you're probably saying, well, I trust God. I'm not complaining. But let's look at what they do. Because they didn't get their way. Imagine if we're in the midst of that group of people as they're traveling. They're complaining about God. Well, maybe there are people there, and if you understand, the people that were traveling at this time were not all children of Israel. When they left Egypt, other slaves came with them. Other people came with them. It was a mixed people that came out of Egypt. And so there are people there that do not worship God listening. And they begin to complain that God is allowing this to happen. He's allowing us to have to go around by the Red Sea. God is not just taking over and making it happen the way we think it should happen. And they begin to complain. I want to ask you this. When you go through your daily life and I go through my daily life, how many times do we complain about the things we have to put up with? I think we complain quite a bit. And we're not talking bad about God like they did. But stop and think, if one of those people that don't worship God and don't follow God and don't understand what God has done for them, if they're walking beside you or they're standing by the break table or in the locker room or at the coffee shop and they hear you complaining about life, well, I thought they were a Christian. Are they not happy with what their God is doing in their life? Do they not have enough faith in their God that these things are happening? They're complaining about what their God is allowing to go on in our world today. Now, I'm not saying we have to like everything that's going on in our world, because we don't. But when you and I complain about the life that God has blessed us with, what does that sound like to somebody that you're trying to witness to? You want me to follow a God and you're not even happy with your life? You're not happy with what's going on around you, and you want me to follow that God that you're not satisfied with? So they complained and complained. It says right there also, it says, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? They had followed God through the wilderness to this point. They knew, they had been told, they had followed the Shekinah glory cloud, the cloud of God's Holy Spirit through the desert. And then they followed a pillar of fire at night. God had protected them. He had taken care at the Red Sea of all of Pharaoh's army. Man, they had seen how God had protected them. And all of a sudden, when they don't like the way things are going in their life, well, I think God's quit taking care of us. You brought us out here to die. And immediately they begin to complain. And I can just hear them. I'm not sure that Moses' spiritual life's as good as it used to be. I don't think he's getting his direction from God anymore. He's brought us out here to die in the wilderness. Or maybe God just got us out here and now he wants to see how we do on our own. And he's just leaving us alone. And they begin to complain again. And they begin to complain about the fact that they thought God had left them out to die. We surely don't complain to people that we don't trust God. You know, here's that person listening to them again, and this is what they're hearing. You know, God has now, this God that we follow has brought us out here, and he's left us in the desert to die. That person standing over here is like, do you not trust your God? Do you not trust your God? The same one that I saw separate the Red Sea, the same one that fought for us, the same one that has given us water from a rock, that has given us manna from heaven every single day, and you don't trust that he's going to protect you? You don't trust that he's going to lead you through this wilderness? He didn't bring you out here to die? This is what the people beside them are hearing. And as I thought about this week, I wonder how people beside me hear my complaining or see my lack of trust. Well, man, my car's broke down, this is happening, that's happening, and man, all of this is going on, and things are not, I'm running out of time in the day, and I begin to complain about all these little things that are part of life. And they've got to be standing over here saying, but you say you trust God. But yet you're complaining, saying, he's not giving you, he's not doing everything, he's not guiding you the way you said he's going to. So we need to stop and think about the things and how it's perceived by those people around us. Because that's got to make a difference to them. I think that's got to make a huge difference to them. When I complain just a little bit about life, that's really not that big a problem, right? I mean, if I'm complaining that God is not supplying for me the way he promised, if I'm complaining about the fact that I don't have everything I want or life's not going my way, well, that's not really sin. If you're complaining about the blessings you have in your life, or the blessings you don't have, that's sin. Now, it may be a small sin, and we like to call a lot of the things that we do small sins in our mind. Now, we may not come out and say, oh, well, this is a small sin and this is a large sin. We may not do that. But in our mind, just a little bit of complaining about life being bad, and that's nothing compared to so-and-so. She's talking or he's talking behind so-and-so's back, or this person murdered somebody, or they broke in and stole a bunch of stuff. And however you want to look at it, we look at some sin in our life as small. Or maybe we just don't even acknowledge it as sin at all. Well, God knows what my life is like. And this is just a way that he's teaching me to get through it, and he knows I'm not going to like it. But what does everybody else see? Do they see you as, this is a growing process, or do they see you as complaining about your life? Because ultimately, that's our problem. You look at where they're at, they're walking and they don't like it because they would rather be walking the straight path through the easy level road. They would rather have steak and potatoes instead of manna. They would rather have all the water that they wanted in a canteen on their hip. Man, life is not what I want. So we go back to our faithful statement. Life is not about you and me. This life was not about them. They were brought out of Egypt for the sole purpose of worshiping God. God said, Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go so that they may come out into the mountain and worship me. And that's mentioned more than once. I think it's like 3 to 4 times at least. Let my people go so that they may come out and worship me. The whole purpose for saving those people out of Egypt was that they might worship God. And now they're walking through the wilderness and they're not liking how things are turning out. And life is no longer about, I'm here to worship God. Life is now about, I don't like having to walk this way. I don't like not getting to eat this, or I don't like being thirsty. Life was about them. And so, yes, that's a sin. But there's another one here that I almost went through and almost skipped, and I'm glad that God pointed out to me, because I know that's the one I need. When he says, and it kind of caught me, because you probably read it too, it says in that verse, it says, for there is no food and no water. And at the end of that sentence, and we loathe the worthless food we have. But wait, you just said there was no food. And now you're saying the food we have is worthless. They don't even know what they're saying. They can't even complain correctly. There's no food, but the food I do have is worthless. But what jumped out at me more than anything is God had supplied water from the rock, but they had food. He had supplied manna from heaven every single morning. Every day they had a blessing from God. They didn't have to go out and hunt it. God provided a blessing every day. Think about that. If you got up every morning and God had scrambled eggs, bacon, and toast sitting on the table for you every morning, man, I don't have anything to eat. And you complain about what you have. Yeah, but it's the same thing every day. How many people out there don't have anything? How many people out there have to go and scrounge around and find something? And they're given food every single day by the hand of God. This is not, hey, you just live in a good area and there's food on the ground. It's manna from heaven. It is given by the hand of God. And they called it worthless. We don't do that. Now, Pastor Steve, I may complain about some things in my life and I may not be happy with some things going on. But I never complain about the blessings God gives me. Have you ever done what they did here? They did not thank Him. It's worthless. Our souls one translation says, our souls loathe this food. Think about that. It's not just that they're not happy with this. Man, I have steak every single night. Man, I would like just a hamburger sometime just to break up the monotony type of deal. They are saying, this is my soul hates this. It's loathing to my soul. That's where they're at. And it gets to that point because they have it every day. And so they take it for granted. And then after they take it for granted, it becomes routine. And after it becomes routine, it becomes even mundane. And after it becomes mundane, it becomes hated. And after it's hated, it's just loathed. It all starts from the fact that they were not thankful for the blessings that they had. Now, let's back up just a little bit and let's ask ourselves, Steve, are you thankful for every blessing you get? Man, I get stuff every day. God blesses me every single day. Whether it's the house you have, the car you have, the spouse you have, the kids you have, the job you have, the money you have. Everybody here has manna from heaven. You have something that God blesses you with every single day. And I want to ask you this question, because this is the thing God got me. How long has it been since you thanked me for your manna? Man, I love the opportunity when you just see God do something in such an amazing way, and you're able just to fall down on your knees and thank Him and praise Him for doing that. And He's saying, you know, it really didn't take any more of my power to do that than to allow you to get out of bed today. It didn't take any more of my power to part that Red Sea than it did to lay that manna out in front of you. We don't thank God for the things He does. And, you know, and people say, well, you know, saying please and thank you, that's just a normal thing, right? That's one of those things that you teach your kids. It's a normal part of life that if you're a good person, you do that. You say please and you say thank you, and that's a bonus, right? My kid could be polite and open the door, or my kid could be nice and pick something up, or somebody drops it, or something along that line, and that's good. But to say thank you when somebody gives them something, well, that's a bonus. Yes, you should do it, but we kind of get in our mind that that's a bonus. And so it's not as bad when we don't say thank you, right? Well, let me read this verse to you. This is in Romans chapter 1. And what's taking place is God has just talked through Paul to the Romans about all these terrible sins that people were committing. And I mean, it's a list of terrible ones. They're suppressing the truth of God. They're giving themselves over. They're dishonoring God as God. They're ignoring who He is. And right in the middle of the list of these, what I would call seven terrible, terrible sins, He says, they did not honor God as God, or they didn't give Him thanks. And then it goes right on to, they became futile in their thinking. They became foolish and went into darkness, claiming to be wise, but they ignored God and made images and idols. And so it's talking about paganistic rituals. It's talking about dishonoring God. And right in the middle, it says, and they didn't even give thanks to God. You ever thought about that? That not giving thanks to God for the manna that you have is sin. Because the whole purpose He brought them out of Egypt was to worship Him. The whole purpose He has for us is to worship Him and give Him honor. And we don't even thank Him for the daily stuff. Well, Pastor Steve, there's so many things that I'm going to forget. I can't mention them every single day. How do you know? Have you ever tried? Have you ever just sat down and tried to thank God for everything that you could possibly even think of? Well, no, I wouldn't want to do that. That would take all day. That'd be ridiculous. That's the point. We are supposed to praise God. And I'm not saying, oh, I'd have to quit my job because I'm sitting at home thinking every single minute I'm thinking of something new that comes into my life that I am able to thank God for. And if I'm supposed to do that, how much would I really be thanking God? As much as you're supposed to. But you and I fall short. We don't do that. But that's what He deserves. And we don't get it in our mind that He deserves that type of thanksgiving. We don't do that because that just doesn't seem realistic. That I could just... But thank Him for something and then thank Him for something else. And then later on when you see something, you see that rainbow or you see your best friend or you get a call from your kids or maybe you just get to sit down and eat, you thank Him. You thank Him for everything you possibly can and you're still going to fall short. I'm still going to fall short because our God deserves that. And until I realize that's what He deserves, I'm never even going to come close to giving Him the thanks He deserves. And so here we have these people, these children of Israel. They're complaining about not having what they want. They have a lack of trust that God is going to get them through the wilderness, and everybody sees that. And then they don't thank God. Think about not just the people watching that see how you complain, but also think about the fact that the people watching never see you thank God. That's just part of life. But they hear you start thanking God for the things that are in your daily walk, the things that are in your life. Man, that guy, every time he turns around, he's thanking God for something. That's getting pretty annoying. But what you have to understand is people need to hear us thank God as much as they need to not hear us complain. So as these people are complaining and walking through the wilderness and not thanking God, this is the eighth time that they begin to complain like this, in this way. They begin to complain against Moses and God. This is like the eighth time, but it's the last time that it's recorded too. Maybe this is the reason, because right after that, we loathe this worthless food, verse 6. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Man, I would have been done right there. Snakes, right there where you're at. Not just normal snakes, not that black snake that's going to cause you to have a heart attack, but it's not going to bite you. These are venomous snakes. These are snakes that if they bite you, you're going to die. That's what we've got here. And there was no discussion. At this point, God didn't say, hey, if you don't straighten up, I'm sending snakes. That would have made me straighten up. That would have made a lot of people straighten up. But He didn't say that. Was God not fair? God had already led them through the wilderness and supplied their needs and protected them and fought for them and guided them. And a little small complaining and a little bit of not trusting and the fact that they didn't thank God, He said, I'm done with it. Here's your snakes. Your sin, just like theirs, and their sin brought upon something that eventually was going to bring death. God sent the snakes, and that snake was a punishment for their sin or a judgment for their sin, and that judgment was going to eventually lead to death. But these were little bitty things. It wasn't idol worship. It wasn't, we've turned our backs on God completely. We're just complaining a little bit about life. And God sent these snakes. It says some of the people, they bit some of the people so that many people of Israel died. I looked up 7 different translations this week on that verse because something jumped out at me that I had never seen before. And it says, it bit some of the people and many of the people of Israel died. Now remember where I said earlier that there were other people mixed in? It doesn't say anything about the other people that were probably complaining and they were probably not thanking God because they're not the children of Israel. They've got their idol stuck in their pocket. But it says that the people that died were the people of Israel. The people that knew better were the ones that died. It doesn't say anything about the others that traveled out with them out of Egypt. And through the wilderness, man, they were probably the ones leading the complaining. Man, they were the ones instigating the complaining. This God you serve, He's not. We're having to eat the same thing every day. And so before you know it, the Christians are joining in. Where are we at? And the people of this world that don't know any better start complaining while you're sitting at a table or you're at a ball game, and they start complaining. And before you know it, what do? We join in. And start complaining about how things are instead about praising God for the way things could be that they're not. And so he sends these snakes, and the people of Israel that should have known better than to do those little sins died. Man, I'm just complaining. Couldn't I just get a bad headache? couldn't I just get like a bad cramp or maybe even just have my leg cut off? No, it brought death. Sin brings death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so he sent those, and immediately after some died, it said, and the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken. They knew what these snakes were coming from. They knew that their sin was bringing about this death. They knew that the snakes were perfectly directed to their sin. They were connected to the way they acted, the way they talked, the way they were disrespectful. That's what it tells us. It said, we've sinned. They acknowledged. They confessed their sin. And they said, when we confess, we've sinned against you, Moses, and we've sinned against God. Pray to God that he will take the serpents away. It's a good thing I wasn't Moses. So I said, you got what you deserve. That's our attitude sometimes today as Christians. Man, if that person did something and they're claiming to be a Christian and that happened, yeah, I'd like to help you, but you know, you kind of got what you deserve. You kind of brought that on yourself. But Moses goes straight to God and prays for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, this is what you do. You go and you make this snake and you make it out of bronze and you put it up on this pole and everybody looks at it like you know what happens. And it works. Moses makes this snake and he puts it up on this pole. And I'm sure they probably watched him. I'm sure they kind of knew how it happened. It wasn't a real snake. It was a snake made of bronze put up on this pole. And then he says to the people, God says, if you will look at that snake, you will not die. If that snake bites you, you can look at that snake on that pole and you won't die. Can you imagine those people that they're panicking because they're seeing people, many people, bit and died because of these snake bites. And this guy that's been leading me through the desert for all this time is saying, if I will look at this little snake that he made and stuck up on a pole, I'm going to be healed. He doesn't realize this is a real life snake bite with venom that is going to kill me. And he says, just look up at this snake that I made. That's not how it works. How it works is God says, if you will trust what I'm telling you to do, and you will have faith enough to take and turn and look up, then you will know that I have the power to heal your snake bite. You know where this is going. But that's what he's saying. But think about the fact that somebody is there and they're just, no, I'm not going to look up. That's a ridiculous idea. That does not make sense that that would ever work, that I could look up to that snake and I would be healed and that person is going to end up dying. Because it just doesn't make logical sense. Surely couldn't happen today, but it happens every day. Because just like looking at that snake, if you go to John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. People today are still saying it doesn't make sense that this God that's supposed to be a God of love and the wages of sin is death, this world's falling apart and sin is destroying it, and all I've got to do is look to that Jesus that died on the cross. And that's going to heal me. That's going to give me life. Just believing and trusting in a Savior that died on a cross, was buried, and rose again. All I got to do is believe that? No. Because the Bible says the devil believes and trembles. You have to know that it's possible, that he has the power to do that. But you have to trust. That's their fault right there. They didn't trust that God had a way to get them through the desert. So God is saying, I want you to learn how to trust. I want you to learn how to have faith. And if you'll trust that it just looking up to that snake will heal you, then your faith is really in the fact that I can heal you if you do what I say. And for us today, when we talk to people, they may say it's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. How could he have died that long ago for sins that I'm going to commit tomorrow? I haven't even done it yet. It's by grace through faith that you're saved. It's understanding that God's grace giving me something I don't deserve comes through faith in knowing, believing, and trusting that He is the God that has the power to do it. And that changes it. So think about this for just a second. Just like there were people back then that didn't have enough guts or didn't have enough faith to look up to that pole and so they died. Terrible, sad thing. But do you think there were any people back there at that time that they were bit by a snake? Moses said, look up to that pole. Man, they looked up and they knew. Man, by this time everybody else had died. I've been healed. I looked at the serpent on the pole and I was healed. And then they look over and they see somebody that has been bitten. They know. They've experienced the healing of this serpent. The healing from God through this serpent. Through this faith of looking at this serpent. I see them sitting there. They've been bit. I know what the outcome is going to be if they don't look at that serpent. What do I do? Because today, you and I that have experienced that saving grace of God, that salvation through the blood of Jesus, I've experienced it. How can I ever go through this life and look at somebody that hasn't experienced that? I know the sin in their life is going to bring forth death, and I do nothing about it. I know that it's true. I've experienced it. I've felt it. I feel Him every day. And I see this person, I say, man, I hope they kind of look up someday. And I hope somebody else tells them to look up. And I don't go tell them myself. It'd be pretty sad if a person back then did this. It's just as sad today when you and I don't do this. We're going to wrap up here. The bronze snake, we know it reflects Jesus Christ. All of this that took place is your life and my life on a daily basis. And we'll close with this point. As God had proved He was in control when He led them on that victory over the Canaanites. And then they began to mess up. And when they began to mess up, that brought judgment for their sin. But God came in and He provided a way out of that sin. And He was able to save some and not others. Because it wasn't because God said, no, you're going to die. No, they refused to look up at the serpent. And so it's just like your daily life and my daily life. God is in control. God has given you victories in your life that you have even forgot or didn't even notice. And then I messed it up because my daily life began to be about me. I began to think about the things I had, the things I don't have, the things that are going on around me that I don't like. And I began to complain and I began to not trust that God is saying go here. And I'm not really sure that if I go there, things are going to work out. And so I don't trust Him. And then I realized at the end of the day, so many things have happened that I've never thanked God for. And so those small sins in my life begin to mount up. And I deserve death for my sin. It's just like this story. But what had to happen? Had they never came to Moses and said, Moses, we've sinned, they would have never experienced that serpent on a pole. If you and I never go to God and say, God, I've sinned. How is He going to ever forgive your sins. How's He ever going to forgive my sins if I don't confess them? He tells us, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you confess. And we think, well, that's talking about people that are non-Christians. And yes, if you're a non-Christian, I can tell you all about the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it comes down to you having to confess your sins to God and ask for forgiveness. And He will provide a way out through Jesus Christ on the cross. But you know, sometimes as Christians, we look at it as confession is that first time when you go and you accept Jesus Christ and you confess your sins. And I'm confessing not only the sins I've done in the past, but God, I'm just going to go ahead right now and save us both some time. I'm going to confess all those I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next month and the next year. No. Unconfessed sin builds a wall. It builds up and builds up. Yes, He died for my sins, but if I give something to my kid, well, Dad knows I love him. Dad knows I'm thankful. And I just keep giving and keep giving. Before you know it, they're just going to assume Dad's going to keep giving and giving, and they lose a grateful heart. Is that what you and I want before God? Confess your sins, even the small ones. Think about what people out there that are not of the tribe of Christianity, what they think, what they see when they watch you, what they hear when you complain, what they don't hear when you don't thank God, because they've been bitten, and we know where that leads to. And the only thing that can take place is that they can turn their eyes to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, that they might have healing and eternal life. But we need that strength in a daily basis. I will ask forgiveness for my sins later. I'll just go around with this snake bite on my leg. I know how to get rid of it. I'm just going to see how long I can handle it on my own. It doesn't work that way. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to provide a way of salvation through the cross of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for salvation through Jesus. Lord, forgive me of the many things that I do that I don't even realize that break Your heart. Father, I thank You. I thank You. I thank You. I thank You for the blessings in my life. My wife, my kids, this church, my friends, everything You bless me with day after day after day that I take for granted as manna. Lord, help me to love You more. I thank You and I praise You in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.